Good evening, one and all. Yes, it's a Wednesday, halfway through the week. I know these times go really quick, but this is me, Barry, with another book and a chat. Well, we haven't just got one person on the show today. I've got two people on the show today, talking about themselves and about a book about their lives together and everything. Now, this is a bit relevant to me because next October in 2018, I will be getting married. And it's not my first rodeo. Neither is my fiance's first rodeo. But as we're going to go to England in we're getting married in June. I'm sorry, next year. As we're going to England in October, we're getting married so that she can actually stay there. Otherwise, she'd only be to stay there 6 months and have to come back for 6 months and stuff like that. So one of the things I was looking at, as you plan these things, is what to put in vows. Because obviously it's vows of the autumn of our life and all this sort of stuff. My guests today, they can give me not just a few hints on this, but also explain some of the stuff that they've managed to go through and written about now. But I better introduce my guest today, haven't I? Because I've got two. I have Alice and Richard Madskin. Hi, Alice. Hi, Richard. How you doing?
We're doing great. How are you doing? And congratulations, Barry.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, we've been happy together for 7 years. But as I say, the fact I'm going back to England. Well, we're going to England, but I'm going back. She's going to England. Yeah, a little bit. Have to get married. Otherwise, she gets thrown out after 6 months, which I guess could have a good side. But no, a 6 months break I couldn't do with her. So that's the plan. Thank you. As I said, both of you very creative in your own works. You're a painter, Alice, and Richard, I think you're a sculptor, and you've written
That's
stuff
true.
before. But you've not just now written one book. There's two books. There's one about the aging, and there's also about the masterclass of loving, which, I mean, obviously people you go through life and everything, and you've gone through together a lot of time together. What's the And you and I read your vows that you came up with. Well, not vows, but things that you said that people have to commit to. Is it something that you've learned as you've gone along? Because I always say that a relationship is you never stop learning. But is this something that you two have managed?
It's something we've managed together and also before we got together. Because Alice is my fourth wife, actually.
Oh, this that's,
And
same with me. This will be number four, yeah.
Oh, good. Listen, four is a charm.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But, it's all a learning experience as far as I'm concerned. And I'm still good friends with my ex-wives. And, you're not born knowing how to do relationships. It just, you have to learn. And so for me, it was a process of learning. And finally, when I did learn, I met Alice, and it was easy. It was just easy. In
Yeah.
fact, we fell in love like the first days we were together, and we haven't been apart since.
Okay, so you're reading my life. Okay. Yes, it's exactly the same with me. I mean, I did not even know Susan, my fiance. Yeah, I hadn't. Sorry, I did not. I had not seen a picture of her, shall I say? And we met via a senior dating sort of place, shall I say? And we sort of went to go out for a meal, and I was sitting there, and there was loads of people coming in and out the door, and there was a. I think there's baby shower going on and a bridal shower going on in this place. And she came in the door, and I just knew as soon as she came in that that was her. I mean, I hadn't seen any picture of her or nothing, no sort of wear a red rose, so I know it is. I just knew it was, and I sort of beckoned her over, and sure enough, it was her. But it's funny, as you say, you learn and you know as soon, pretty often by that time, sort of thing.
It's true. It's true. And sometimes you got to get hit in the head a lot in order to learn. And I have a thick skull,
yes.
But I finally learned. And Alice and I really do have a magnificent relationship.
And the
go ahead.
promises that he wrote, and the things that you read, those loving promises that he wrote, are all the way we live our life. And it wasn't that we had this list that we looked at the time, to say what we were going to do. It just said how we are with each other. And so Richard, actually used our relationship as a laboratory to look back. And what was it that made this relationship so sweet? And that's how he came up with the loving promises. And they're promises you make to yourself, not to your partner. You make yourself to yourself is how you're going to be.
Right. And this is what your book, Loving Promises, the Masterclass for Creating Magnificent Relationships. I love that. And that's what it is. And the things the things that caught my eye, not the normal sort of vows of honesty and all this sort of stuff, but regard you as my equal. A lot of people, that doesn't happen. Participate in your life again. You're not an island anymore. You have to do challenge you when necessary, and won't manipulate you. Too many relationships, unfortunately, end up with that sort of thing. And protect our confidentiality and honor your family. Respect our independence. I mean, a lot of those things, people, I can visualize sitting, listening to the show, nodding their heads because, oh my goodness, they can't put up with the other part of the family, or we've got to keep stuff confidential within us. And then obviously there are times when you need to have the independence and stuff. As you said, Alice, I mean, Richard lives by those.
We both do.
You both do. I'm sorry. I beg you.
That's just how we are with each other.
Yeah.
He's my best friend. He's my lover. He's my uncle. He's my aunt. He's my mother. He's my father. We're dancing to the same tune.
Right.
And, that's just how it's been from the day we met. We're very fortunate, but we really practiced before we got there.
Right. I know totally what you mean. but the fact that you are both able to work together like this, as you said, right from the very beginning, that's
life is short, and there's no time at this point to really just be an idiot.
Right.
It's so much easier. It's so much easier to be loving than it is to be miserable.
Oh my goodness!
And it's just the easiest thing to do. There's no drama, and it's just so sweet and it's possible. And it's not only is it possible, but it's magnificent.
But how many people do you know that live a life of moaning about their relationships? There's a French singer, and I've used this is the sort of mantra that I've picked up a long while ago, and I've mentioned it a few other shows, but a French singer called Charles Aznavour. She, I think, was his biggest hit. But he's got there's a phrase in one of his songs: you have to learn to leave the table when love's no longer being served.
That's the truth. It's just most people are pigs. They don't know when to leave the table.
I certainly didn't.
I didn't either.
Exactly. They don't. And then they, they're waiting for the next calls to come, and there isn't one. Yes.
or it's a horrible, terrible meal.
Yeah, exactly. But how many people live in that sort of relationship?
Yeah. Well, part of it is is that usually they're blaming somebody else instead of taking responsibility for their own actions.
Right.
And the important thing really is just to look at yourself and just see how you can become a more loving person. And it's so much easier.
Within the Loving Promises book, this masterclass, is that the sort of thing you go through?
Can you ask a clear question? I'm not getting
it. I'm sorry. In your book, the masterclass, what do you share with the reader to help them get fulfillment out of their own relationships?
Well, the loving promises themselves are, it's just this beautiful way of being in being a couple. And I think just by reading this, you gain an understanding of what love is
and
what love can be.
Yeah.
And you can practice it. That's the thing. It isn't just a head trip.
Right.
They're actions. Loving promises are actions.
Yeah, they're
that
behaviors.
You take, just to be kind, not like you were talking about before, the same things.
Right.
To respect each other.
And showing, sharing your relationship in the book, obviously is there to help other people gain that knowledge.
Yeah, I think it's important then I did talk about my past relationships, and illustrating that I was a mess, and that it is possible to go beyond that and have a beautiful relationship. And actually, Alice wrote a chapter in the book about our relationship and about us that I think is also very valuable. Because, you know, we're not special. We're not different. And I think it's possible for everyone with a mature outlook to have a magnificent relationship.
And it's not your first book either, because you're actually an award-winning author.
That's true. Well, actually, both of the books that we've written have won awards.
Oh, right.
Richard just got a Nautilus Award on Loving Promises just last month.
Yes.
See, there you go. My knowledge is a bit behind, I'm afraid.
Well, it just happened.
Right.
Yeah. But our other book is about aging and about our experience of aging.
And it's also about our art, because we're both artists. I'm
exactly,
a painter, and
yeah.
He's a sculptor. And so what happened was when I was 58 years old, all of a sudden I looked in the mirror and I realized I was getting older, and I started freaking out. And I decided that, you know, I mean, everything I was looking at looked like it was dying to me. And every time I get a twinge in myself, I would like, oh, my God, is this the moment I'm going to die? And I went, this is insane. I have to stop this immediately. So I decided that I was going to start off by painting women 70 years and older and ask them what makes worthwhile. And so we embarked upon a quest, Richard and I. We met these women. We interviewed them, and I painted them. And then Richard started doing sculptures about it. And he did a series of sculptures called Naked Old Men, where he looked into, you know, the fear about aging. And then, I mean, it's a whole series of projects that we did, 60 pieces of art between the two of us about different aspects of aging, you know, about the body, about getting older, about old lovers, about our parents, and just what we were experiencing as we were growing older. And we did that for 15 years. We're still doing it. But what happened was through the art and through meeting amazing people and realizing that they're not just the people that we interviewed, but the people who live next door are amazing. You know, I mean, there's mm-hmm. so many amazing elders that are doing beautiful things in the world. And we just, you know, I guess basically what we came to was that life is really precious, you know, especially as you get older, because you don't have that much time left, so you don't want to waste it.
Yeah.
And so we just really came to the preciousness of life, and that's what
the book represents.
It's the theme of the book, ultimately, even though we talk about just the different things we were experiencing.
Right.
It's really beautiful.
And that's the beautiful thing of it. People, you know, when you get to a certain age, your parts start wearing out.
Right.
Yeah, and you know you're going to suffer and stuff like that. I mean, you know, I did sport for 40, 50 years, you know, so I knew my knees were going to go. I mean, it's a matter of stuff like that. But the thing is, you learn, you accept stuff. And they say that, you know, kids don't have filters, and neither do senior people. And that's why people are able to be more honest at that age as well. Because if as I say at work, you know, listen, I'm too old to not ask a question. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you've learned you've learned over the years that you don't want the drama and the craziness in your life. You just want to have nice, quiet days.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, I'm sure people listening to the show know drama queens or kings, whatever it is, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And every day, oh, my goodness, you wouldn't believe it. This is happening. Yeah, okay. You know, just you know, it's happened. You know, like, what do they say? No, don't cry over spilt milk. You know, it's happened. Okay. What have you learned from it? What can you do to help it not happen again? And it's the same with a relationship. What have you learned? What have you learned from past relationships that you know you did something wrong? People always look back and say, "I wish I'd have done this. I wish I hadn't have done that." Well, you got another chance next time.
Yeah.
And obviously, with the both of you, this is something that's, you know, you've both learned the respect.
Learning.
You never stop learning. I'm sorry, that it can't be the past tense. You never stop that learning. But you, along the way, It's like being at school, you know, you learn things in kindergarten and junior, and then you learn more as it goes along. Every day you learn more, but you can still go back to some of that stuff that you were educated with in the early days, and that would be like educating with your life as you go on.
Yeah, it's called Life's College School of Knowledge.
That's it. Yes. Good one. I like that. And obviously, within your masterclass book, you're able to do that. Are you able to bring in some of the art stuff as well within the book?
Well, actually not. I have one illustration in the front of the book, but it's not an art book. It's a spiritual book. It's a
love story.
It's a love story, yep. our story.
Indeed.
And it's a philosophical look at what love is and what it takes for love to blossom.
And it's a self-help book, too. You know, it's many, many books rolled into one. You know, it's just...
I have been writing this for 20 years.
Oh, really? Wow.
I used notes from many, many years ago. And it had been my dream to make this book a reality, and it had many incarnations. But when I realized that it should center around the loving promises, that became the theme of the book.
Right. Now, as you said, it's a self-help book. Have you sort of received any correspondence from your emails or sort of people let you know that if the book sort of helped them or along the way within their own relationships?
Oh, yeah. We get a tremendous amount of feedback. Several couples told us that they're reading it together and have actually started on reading it a second time together. It's a wonderful book to share. For couples to share with each other,
and it's also a great book where the loving promises are all things that you can practice on your daily life, but not just in your relationship, but just out in the world.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking. Because here am I already comparing to work environments as I'm sort of asking you questions. I can see that. The way people read through it, and it's interesting what you said about going through it a second time, because it's almost like going back and doing a revision to see if they have improved on what they learned the first time.
Yes, yeah, that's important.
And also, it's a kind of book, you know, you can also pick it up and just open it up, and whatever page you land on is going to be a pearl of wisdom.
Yeah.
Because Richard is really a beautiful writer. So, I mean, he's a musician, so all his writing has got a certain rhythm to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, with the drums and that, it is the rhythm. And a lot of authors will tell you, there's a lot of authors who write with certain music, and they have certain music for certain characters, and, you know, depending on what they're writing, they do other music, and it is quite an important part of writing fictional novels is the music, the rhythm, the backing, if you like, for the characters and stuff like that. So I can understand how Richard, when you came to it with your own musical knowledge, you got into this, albeit it took you a long while to write, but once you got going, I mean, did you sort of do it in bits, or did you sort of piece it together, and then when it was sort of in the pieces, then you got going the whole way through and sorting it out?
Well, I really worked on it day and night the last year and a half or so.
With a pencil?
Really?
Yeah, I don't type. So I worked at it with a pencil, and then I'd be scratching in the middle of the night and waking Alice up with the...
I did a huge painting of him writing his book on love, because I would wake up in the middle of the night and just hear that scratching. It was like music to my ears, because what was coming out of him was like creation, and it was exciting, it was thrilling.
And that's it again. I mean, when the creative juices or whatever comes to you, the muse comes to you, you've got to write it down. Doesn't matter whether it's day or night, isn't it, Richard? I mean, you know, you suddenly thought of something, and that, you know, and you have to write it down there and then. That's it.
That's exactly
what would happen. In the middle of the night, the light would go on. I'd be scratching, and then try to get back to sleep again. But when the inspiration hits you, you've got to respond.
And there's so many authors we've had on the show that there's characters come to them in the night or something like that, and they have to keep a pad next to the bed, like you. I'll remember it in the morning, and you don't.
No, you don't.
the muse is gone. The characters don't want to talk to you anymore or anything like that. As you went through the important processes, the important words in the masterclass and stuff like that, did you think of any new ones that you thought, well, I should make a note of this? This is something that is really important, and perhaps I haven't thought of it before.
You're asking after I had written it?
As you were writing it, I mean, you came up with obviously certain promises, certain things. As you were writing it, or when you thought you'd do it, did you sort of think of any sort of ones that you had to go back and put into it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I started out with maybe 10 and and then added more and more and more, because as I was looking at our relationship, I was seeing more. I was seeing what we were doing. And so the process of writing clarified what was unclear in my mind.
And it's not people think, oh, well, they've been together a long time, this is like the art of aging, this is sort of things for people when they get old. No, it's not. This is for everybody.
Alice,
obviously you could what Richard wrote, sort of thing. Obviously, you can sort of see this being for everybody, from any sort of, not just relationship either. I think perhaps relationships with children as well.
With everybody, every human, with every living thing, now that you mention it.
Right.
These promises, many of them, could be used for promises within families.
Yes.
Promises with children.
Absolutely.
As you mentioned.
Yeah.
A way of living life with integrity.
And with kindness.
And it's interesting, because I was at my youngest son's graduation from middle school today, and there was two young girls did the speech, one from each, I think there's a white group and a gold group or something like that, the two different groups that they had their graduation, just a couple of hundred kids. And one of them went into this about the respect within the family, not to invade privacy, to honour the family and all that sort of stuff. So it does fit so well within families, and you can see, I'm sure people listening to this, within their own family, that some of this how it can improve with some of these sort of not quite so well, these promises, not obscure, but these along these lines.
Yeah.
Well, it improves your outlook about things, because you have an intention of being a kind person, and so with that intention in mind, and with being a kind and loving person in mind, you change, and when you change like that, everybody changes,
because
you treat them differently, see them differently.
And with that change, what was a good relationship, as you rightly so, can change into a magnificent one.
Magnificent. It's magnificent, really. Right. There's not a day that goes by when we don't tell each other we love each other. Not a day.
I know that.
We've been together 34 years.
Well, we haven't been quite that long, but I know what you mean. It's about 2 months ago, when we go out shopping, we always have fun. I mean, I think that's part of a relationship.
Yeah,
that's
too.
A very important part.
Yeah. And we went into the supermarket, and we're coming out of the supermarket, and I gave her a friendly pat on the backside as we're going out. And this lady says, "Oh my goodness, isn't that wonderful after all these years?" And we don't.
People are shocked. Especially old people.
I know. and we were together, turn around, we've only been together about 3 years at the time. but whatever. But I know whatever to me is the fact that we've had such a fantastic chat on the show. But what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to the two of you, if you like, So you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you, your artworks, and of course your new book, this this Loving Promises, the Masterclass. So over to you two.
Okay, thank you. It was fun. So our website, if anybody wants to know more about us, our website is matzkinstudio.com, and I'll spell it for you. It's matzkinstudio.com, and there's all kinds of information about the Loving Promises Masterclass for Creating Magnificent Relationship, and also the Art of Aging, Celebrating the Authentic Aging Self. And lots of videos about us, and
a lot of paintings and sculptures, and
yeah,
it's an online gallery.
It is. I was looking at some of the paintings earlier on. They're beautiful stuff as well.
And what else do we have to say?
Well, one thing I'm very proud of is Alice has two paintings in the Smithsonian Institution.
Really?
National Portrait Gallery.
Wow. Yeah. And where can people buy the books from?
They can buy it on Amazon.com.
Okay, great. Well, thank you both so much for being guests on the show today. It's been fascinating chatting to you. And I knew I could relate to a lot of it. I'm glad.
Well, you're the best interview we've ever had.
Oh, thank you.
You are. You're a lot of fun to talk to. We really appreciate
I second that.
I really enjoyed myself, and I hope a lot of people, we go out to about 25,000 people around the world. So I'm hoping that a lot of listeners have learned and will continue to learn from not only the chat, but then from your works and your words in the book. So thank you both so much for being guests on the show today.
And thank you, and congratulations to you, and so happy for your beautiful love.
Thank you.
And we hope everybody in the world has beautiful love.
That's right. Once you've found it, never let it go. That's it.
Exactly.
Thank you. Well, and you. There you go. My guests today, not one, but two we had today, been talking about them and their books and, of course, what we can learn from them. Alice, I'm losing my pages here. Richard and Alice Matzkin, M-A-T-Z. Or Z, as I would say, M-A-T-Z-K-I-N. And as they said, you can find about them at matzkinstudios.com. M-A-T-Z-K-I-N-S-T-U-D-I-O. matzkinstudio.com. So they can find it there. But just look up for Loving Promises, the Masterclass. You can find lots of stuff like that, Art of Aging, the books about with the photos and everything like that. I'm sure everybody will find it. So that's it for now.